advise you to reach out to at least three people in the next 5 days, just because you're thinking of them, and let them know, hey, I thought of you today, and see what comes of that, because it's cool. So do those things.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. I am super excited today. We're going to have so much fun. My new friend, Lisa David Olson, who is the practically world famous business humorist, if I got that right. She is funny. She's quirky. She's got all sorts of good stuff. You got to follow her online because you are going to be entertained and inspired. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Andy. And have you ever introduced somebody by not being excited? I wonder what that would look like. Not really feeling it today, but we set up this time, so here we are.
I know. It's funny you say that, because the last couple of times I've been introducing people and I've been thinking, I need to stop saying I'm excited. I am always excited about all of my guests.
We always say that. And I'm excited to be here, of course, but I really am. But still, it's cheesy.
I know. It is funny because I've thought that actually some mid-sentence of like, okay, I just need to come up with a list of adjectives to adjectives and synonyms and just start working through them.
Right. Yeah. I'm not bummed out that you're here.
Yeah. This isn't a disappointing episode.
This probably won't be the worst thing that happened today, but here's to hoping. Yeah.
Yeah. I am so looking forward to chatting with you today. For those who didn't catch it, I was on Lisa's podcast recently, Stranger Connections, and that was just a fun conversation.
We did have silly fun because you tell jokes. You're a joke man and a karaoke guy. And yeah, I'm like, I got to talk to this guy on my show. Plus, we always talk pranks and dares. So that was very fun, too.
I know. And that question, and I'm going to let you guys go listen to the episode to hear what we talked about. But I had to think about, of all the pranks that I've pulled over the years, what do I want to share? So,
yeah, I love it when I let them know ahead of time, because I always let my guests know, you know, we're going to talk about pranks or dares. So get one ready. And when people say, is this an adult show? I get very excited. I'm like, ooh, we're going to hear a really good story.
Right, this will be a good one. That's
awesome. And yes, it's an adult show.
Yeah. Check that box. Not for, you know, not made for kids.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not that bad, but it's certainly not made for kids. It's just not going to be, you know, best jokes go over their heads and just land with the adults. That's the best jokes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I always appreciate when there's multi-levels to a joke. And I just got to call out for those of you that are not watching this on video and are just listening, Lisa is the first guest to be wearing my Own Your Awkward shirt for the recording, which is awesome and amazing. Just made my day to open up the video and be like, oh, I recognize that.
It's my logo. Yeah. Yes, this is, I am sporting the fine Heather Gray, and it is Own Your Awkward in white. And I get compliments, and I'm kind of a big deal now because I have my Andy swag.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, that makes my day. I mean, as if it wasn't already made by getting to chat. So,
stop.
I know. Probably enough of the love fest. Our listeners are excited to hear all these things we're going to put you on the spot about.
Ooh.
The first try. Which is, you know, you're out there in all sorts of capacities in the world and working with businesses and in a different part of the world than I am. And I'm just curious, what's the most positive thing you see going on right now?
I think the most positive thing is people's appreciation for being back together in person. Mm. And as much as we learned how to become homebodies and kind of own going out less, I've seen that. But when we are together, I think people are still doing the greeting of, isn't it great we can do this again? Or aren't you looking forward to that funeral? You know, right. We'll be together and eat.
We'll at least be able to have conversations in person.
Right. Yes. It's so much different because you can Zoom all day and yeah, we don't want to Zoom all day, but that in person, there's just something about it. And generally it is around food. So that's always a good thing as well. I think that is the thing though, that we appreciate what we didn't know we enjoyed, which is right. being in the presence of real humans.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a beautiful thing. And the fact that you point out that even this far away, you know, we're a couple of years out from some things being reopened, depending on where you're at and what type mm-hmm. of thing, but some of them might still be the first family get together, the first reunion, or the first concert that we go to. And so we're still having a lot of firsts of things happening again or coming together.
True. And for the workplace, my work revolves around getting into corporations mostly and doing the gentle icebreakers and the non-cheesy. I'm very outgoing. I'm an improv ninja, but I don't like the cheesiest icebreakers. So I have my own brand of icebreakers and they're gentle icebreakers. And I have an LDO promise, which is I don't scare the introverts. And I stick to that promise. And because every show, every event needs audience. So if you're not feeling it, just sit there and just encourage others. So I think icebreakers, there's ways to do it online, but it's so much better in person when you can be in that energy of each other. That's yeah. why doing comedy shows and, you know, doing stand-up, or I know you're world famous karaoke now, that it's much better when there's a lot of people there paying attention and sharing the moment and giving yeah. that energy of applause and laughter, oohs and ahs as you hit the right. high note in Bohemian Rhapsody, as you are wont to do.
Which I won't even attempt, but yes, people do it. Yeah. And I love that you pay attention to everybody's personality type. I was just having a conversation with some folks the other day about the icebreaker, and it really made me aware of, okay, when I'm leading a workshop or a keynote and we step into that icebreaker, not everybody's personality is mine. Not everybody's super extrovert and wanting to have all that fun in that way. They want to have fun in a different way. And so some people are paralyzed all of a sudden when you say, share who you are in front of the whole room. And all of a sudden you're yes. like, I just made that person not feel that great about what we're doing.
It's, oh, what a great example. I think we all just sweat a little bit in a weird spot when you said that, because, you know, let's stand up and tell me two truths and one lie.
Right.
Okay. We've done that enough. I think that one's ready to be tabled. But when you play a gentle improv game and just say, if you're not feeling it, just point to the next person, just pass. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. not even verbal. I give you permission to pass, yeah. you know, and it's remember that vacation. And it's all about structuring the yes and mentality, which is all that is improv, but it's to say, yes, I accept what you said, and I'm going to build on to that. If we went on the stage and we were supposed to be, I'm just going to grab something, we're bank tellers. I grab that audience idea of bank tellers. And if I get out there and I speak first, I'm setting the scene. So if I say to you, whoa, did you still lose your keys? Did you ever find those keys? And if you say, I didn't lose my keys, slam, the door is shut. You just yeah. closed down the whole idea, the whole scene. Right. But instead, if you say, I can't believe I lost him, but I found him in the fishbowl this morning or something, you, right. you went, yes, and exactly. that's in corporate too. You know, you're not going to just say yes, and, but it's the mentality of accepting that new idea and building off of it. So right. in playing Remember That Vacation, this is so fun. You can do it with your kids around the table. Anybody that's got family at home and still eats at a dinner table, maybe you're at a restaurant and you're wanting to put the dang phones away, which you should. You play Remember That Vacation. And I'm going to say, all right, where did we vacation? So Andy, where did we vacation last week?
In the Redwoods.
Yes, we did. And what we want to do with any scene is you establish where, you come up with a conflict, and then you find your out. And hopefully it's funny. In my world, it doesn't have sure. to be. But that is the basis of any sitcom. Mm-hmm. That's the basis of any movie. Even if you went to see Barbie, there had yeah. to be, where are we? What are we doing? And how do we get out of it? So this is great for a whole room. And I would just say, so remember that vacation when we were at the Redwoods, and then you're going to say yes, and you're going to try and figure out some issue we had.
Okay.
Do you want to try?
Sure.
Okay. Andy, you remember that vacation we had in the Redwoods?
I do. And remember when all of our food got eaten by the bears and we didn't have anything to eat?
Yes. And I was like, how did that football team end up showing up here in the Redwoods? I just made myself laugh, by the way. Because I don't like the sports ball.
Because they didn't bring enough food for a whole football team. but they knew how to find it.
Yes. And then we all started climbing the trees just to see who could get up the highest.
Which luckily nobody broke a limb falling out of the trees.
The tree limb or the limb. Yes. Yes. And then we started singing around the campfire. Remember, it was your favorite karaoke song?
Oh my gosh, it was, which most people aren't into singing Dean Martin, but I love a little bit of classic. So Sway is my go-to. But remember how fun it was to teach the football team the Rat Pack?
Yes. And we just happened to have all the makings for the perfect dry martini.
Yes, because I came along for the ride and I always come prepared like a Boy Scout.
So I'm so glad we had that vacation together and that now we got season tickets to watch the Bears in the box office. Nope. Where is it called? What is it called? What's the fancy thing?
Oh, like the club level seating?
That's it. See, yeah. I don't do sports. Yes. And that we get to go sit in the club level seating with all the guys who are down on the field.
Yes. It was awesome. So much fun.
Yay, that was our vacation. We didn't exactly have a big problem come up, but you can ask your group too. So what is our issue? And that's really fun because you want to make it not about the Redwoods. Right. So we could have said like, give me that plate. Where do we vacation? Somebody says Redwoods. Somebody, you know, you keep asking your group. Somebody else, oh, it was McDonald's, you know, storage room, whatever you want to grab.
Yeah.
What was the terrible thing that happened that has nothing to do with the location? And maybe somebody says, I broke my ankle or, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that. And that's your conflict. But we did great. And now we got the sports out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't keep up on sports either. it's fun to go to a game here and there, but I'm not one who knows who's on what team or, you know.
No, I people watch. People watch and eat bad food.
Yeah. That's the joy of any event.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, before we forget, we got to hear about how awkward you are and what that thing is. So what is that awkward thing you've had to own?
I think one of the most awkward things is, when you say it, I'm just like, okay, what comes up first for me? Is the fact that I put off writing my book, my first book, for 6 years because I thought I don't have letters after my name. I'm not famous, just practically. And why would anybody want to read my story?
Yeah.
And I sat on that and everything. And then I found the right editor and I had to turn in 10 pages a week. And that was great. Yay, accountability. Right. And so what I learned from worrying about my content that I wanted to write, that I've only been through 10th grade in school, and you know, that my mother was an alcoholic and that's how I found humor. And I wrote about these things. I got them all out there.
Yeah.
I always thought people would judge me for not finishing school, but there's reasons from my childhood of why I didn't.
Yeah.
And you can better believe my kids did, you know, I broke that cycle. But growing up in an alcoholic home and finding humor as my escape, that was a big deal I really wanted to write about. And I did. Yeah. And I have had so many people come to me saying that it mattered, that they have a similar story of growing up in an abusive home or different things like that. And I also, in my book, share my passion for serious selfies with strangers and shared some photos. Guess what people said about me not graduating and never walking that stage and not even finishing high school? They don't care.
I know what I would say. Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah.
And so I beat myself up. And I think that is awkward in the sense of we worry so much outwardly that we're stopping doing things, that we are letting the false narrative of others stop us from just doing the stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, what if we didn't share our message? Mm-hmm. What if we didn't put that out there and we worry so much about others that we just didn't do it?
Right.
I am so glad I finished my book and so glad it's out. I'm actually writing my third one now because I'm like, wow, I'm just going to do my thing.
Yeah, keep plugging away. And I think once you kind of open that floodgate, then it's like you pick up the confidence, you get the feedback and you realize this is important for the world to hear.
Right. Yes. When I got the feedback from one gentleman that said, he had tears in his eyes and he said, this mattered so much to me. I didn't know we shared the same background. And thank you so much for putting this out there. And my book has a lot of humor because the terrible stuff between mom and I, there was a lot of beautiful stuff. She got me into performing. But the physical abuse is not beautiful, but it's also my time of life. I'm 57 now. And back then you didn't have agencies that would help you.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Many times we had incidents where we went to the hospital and nobody believed us. And we went, you know, the police came to the house from the noise and nobody believed us. And nowadays, so that's why a portion of my book goes toward a local agency that does help families in need of those situations. They need a safe house. They need food. They need things. And so to give back feels good, but it's also great to know that that is out there. So that is the best part of all, that it's not like it used to be.
Right. And, you know, there is so much from what you just shared that I want to unpack. And I want to, one thing that comes to mind is when I meet someone who, say, hasn't finished school or doesn't have the letters behind their name, and I see the things they're doing in life, to me, it makes it so much more impressive that that people are, you know, writing a book, that they have, that they're practically world famous business humorists on stage, inspiring corporations, all these things that you're doing. The fact that you don't have the letters behind your name makes it so much more impressive because you've had to self-create all of the things that you're doing.
I like that, Andy. I really like that. That means a lot. That is cool.
And
a lot of people get the letters after their name and go do something different anyway.
Right. And it's not to say that there isn't value to the letters behind a name and that those are great accomplishments.
Certainly it is.
I have a soft spot for people who are self-made in every way. And I sincerely believe that being an educated person isn't tied to having the paperwork to show you're educated. It's about the work that you do on yourself. You can get the paperwork, you can have the letters behind your name and stop paying attention to what's going on in the world and stop learning and come across as the least educated person.
Absolutely. Common sense is not in a textbook.
Right. That is true.
Or coming from a crazy background like I did. And now I work I'm an assistant in local dispatch in a police department. You best believe I have empathy and I can understand and I can help de-escalate.
Right.
And with my improv, I'm able to go, all right, what's walking in the door right now? Because I'm the first face, you know, it really helps. It's interesting how our hobbies can help with our day jobs.
Yeah. There's one thing I want to ask you about. And that is because I find that we go through these experiences that are so tough and hard. And you talk about having a mom and an abusive relationship. And you can think, you know, I think that it's easy for us to think about all the negative things of that situation. But then you say, she got me into performing. She got me into this. And I would imagine that the history of what you had to deal with got you into your career in dispatch, that you had to have a soft spot for that field. And so I wonder, how has it been hard to reconcile the good with the bad, or how have you pulled those two together to be able to be okay with the good things that came out of what might not have been an easy situation, or clearly wasn't?
I think it never changed. The whole roller coaster ride of our relationship never changed, but it's she's passed away since, and we had our moments where mom actually said to me that she understood what she put us through. And she did end up sober in her last 10 years. Good. So yeah, I mean, it was a near death experience that got her there, but she was sober. And then what was almost even harder, she quit smoking cigarettes, you know, cause back then everybody smoked. So
yeah,
she was definitely fighting her own mental illness and self-medicating. So that sure didn't work, you know, but again, you look back those couple decades back and it wasn't things we talked about.
Right.
My children are young adults. They certainly know what it means. They certainly know what good therapy does, and they know who they can talk to, who they can trust. I mean, they were raised way differently.
Sure. Yeah. And that's one of the best things that I see lately is the openness around mental health. You know, even when I was growing up, I remember it being, oh, they have to see a therapist or they're going to a psychologist. And there was always this, there must be something wrong with them if they're needing that service, because that was just the perception and the understanding. And now people understand, it's like, I talk very openly about, I'm like all over the internet going, I talked to my therapist about this today, and this is what we're working on. because that's, for me, that's a sign of a healthy person, that they are working on their issues and addressing them.
Yes. When you say it that way, it makes me realize that it's kind of flipped. It used to be, like you said, and they used to use the word shrink.
Yeah.
I hate that word. I don't like shrink. I don't like cop. I think they're very derogatory, but I think it's almost like, oh, you don't have a therapist? What?
Right.
That's different.
Yeah. I look at my therapist as having someone on retainer for the times that you need them, because we keep the relationship going. And there are times where I go in and I'm like, it's a good week. I don't know. I feel like I should get a refund because I'm entertaining you with my stories.
Yes. When they laugh, we should get a discount.
Exactly.
But then they do that thing where they turn and say, does everything have to be funny to you?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. We both heard that, I'm sure.
Yeah. But then on the flip side, it makes it an easy, comfortable space for when it's like, oh gosh, like a couple weeks ago, I showed up and he opened the door and I said, I hope you're ready to make your money today.
Oh gosh. Oh no.
He's like, oh no. But it's a good thing.
And it's really only a phone call away now. Any podcast you're listening to is talking about, you know, better health, and you can make a call and a therapist is a phone call away, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if I can't get to my appointment, it can become a virtual meeting easily, or it's so accessible. And even just the blogs, the tips, the tricks, there's so much good stuff about mental health, which I think is just so important.
Absolutely. I'm glad it's out there now, just to be able to talk openly.
Now, one thing that you mentioned, and I can relate to, because I, you know, doing motivational speaking, I always felt like I had to have this big thing. Like I didn't live on the streets. I didn't lose a limb. And I felt like my story didn't matter. So when you said that, I thought, that's how I was. And when I started sharing it, I realized that it was important to people. Was there something that pushed you over the limits? I know you said you got the editor, but was there something that really made you feel like, I gotta be okay with getting this out there?
Yeah, I don't believe in I don't believe in spirituality. Mm-hmm. I guess I would align with Buddhism if I were to say anything.
Sure.
And so those who can thank God every day, or to say my higher power and that kind of thing, I don't have that. And that might be the way I was brought up, and in that, as a kid, if there was a God, how in the hell could I be beaten in the night? Why can't I sleep through the night? How could there be a God? So I understand the dynamics around my brain. Therefore, I always thought a book on a shelf would be my everlasting. It would be my legacy. It would be, my kids can know my story, although they know it, but they didn't know everything. And like I say, there's lighthearted stories in there. It's all short chapters because I'm very quick thoughted.
Sure.
And everything has a lesson of what I learned. So I guess that was a push for me. It was like, ooh, that would be my ever after, a book on a shelf. Although we know shelves aren't always going to exist, but I'm a realist in saying, I kind of wanted my story out there, and I dared myself, because that's something I believe in, is daring myself daily and doing the thing that makes me, you know, a little twitchy, a little butterfly tummy, a little sweating in the weird spots, and doing those things, because afterwards your heart just flutters and you're kind of like, uh-huh, I got me some adrenaline. What do you got?
Yeah.
So you dare yourself to do these things. And if you didn't share your message or your story, how sad that would be if you keep saying someday, and then you don't. And there are people right now, those listening, there are people that need to hear your message, to hear your story.
Yeah.
Somebody needs your thought that you have, that you've been putting off. Somebody needs that right now.
Yeah. And just like you said, the guy who shared how similar your stories were, that didn't know how well you aligned. And that's one thing that I think, two things, when we share our stories, we give other people permission to realize the importance of their story, because they may be repressing their background or going, oh, it's not important, my story doesn't matter. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, when I hear someone else going through that, it sounds a lot different. And now I can give myself credit for what I've been through, because I'm like feeling like, oh my gosh, how did Lisa make it through that? And look at what she's doing. And all of a sudden the light bulb goes on that, wait, there's a lot of parts of that that are my story that I haven't been giving myself credit for.
Right. Yeah, don't be a victim if you have that choice. And life is made of choices. So do you choose to say, well, I can't do that because I grew up in a broken home, or I can't do that because I was abused as a kid, or right. Do you say, that sucks, now what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
forward.
Yeah. And it's so empowering to people. It's like, if I hear it, all of a sudden I go, wow, you know what? If Lisa can do that, if this person can do that, I can make that work. And whatever that thing is, maybe I want to try a different challenge. Maybe my challenge isn't to write a book. Maybe it's
right
to get on stage and do stand-up. Maybe it's to give that TED talk or whatever that thing is. And maybe it's just to do something different in my career, but it gives you that permission and strength to go to chase that thing you want to do.
Yeah. Tomorrow's not promised. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Get out there, do the stuff, sing Sway right in the middle of the restaurant. Why not?
Exactly. Just, hey, everybody, we're singing a song right now. I hope you know it.
That's awesome. I suggest you don't tell them. You just serenade.
Okay, that's fair.
Don't need an intro unless you brought your own MC.
That's fair. I am curious, when you got that book out there, when you started saying, hey, this is going to happen, how did that affect things with people around you?
Oh, yeah. Great question. So I saved my first book was going to be handed to my father. And my parents were divorced for many years, but got along and as they could, like even holidays was okay. But I was like, I am going to give this to him because I'm the only kid out of our family that didn't graduate, didn't go on to school and that kind of thing. I've just always worked. And he's just going to be so proud of me. You know, I just like, I couldn't wait. And it was days that I couldn't see him. So I get over there and I sit, he's always in his same recliner, and I sit by his feet and I was like, I got to show you, you get the very first copy. And he reads what he gets the idea of what's in there. And he said, why would you write this? The past is the past.
Wow.
That is not something the world needs. I don't know why you would put that out there. That's the past. And I was like, well, know your audience, Lisa. There's a great reminder. When you're talking to your dad, who's 30 years older than you, he took his hand and swished as if he was pushing water behind him. And he said, that's in the past. And I said, no, that's who I am.
Yeah.
That's how I am, who I am. And right. it broke me a little bit. And so, but then as I got out there, you know, it was better. But one thing that helped me to get my story out there, because I have three siblings and I know that their story, I only have my own memories. You and I could repeat, we could have lunch today and tomorrow talk about our lunch. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to tell the exact same story.
Right. Yeah.
Now imagine growing up with siblings that you might be slightly estranged from. You're not going to tell the same stories about your childhood.
Right.
So in the front of the book, I wrote, this is my version of my memories.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have your own version that you want to write about, go ahead and I will buy the first copy.
Yeah, I love that.
No one challenged me on that. But it was my way to take that rock out of the backpack that I carry to go, I'm not going to worry about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to think about it anymore because it's stopping me. It's another excuse to not get it done.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of seven.
Oh my gosh.
It's interesting to think that all of us in our own way grew up in separate households because of the snapshot in time, the experiences we had individually with each of our parents and our siblings and the time frame in which we were born. And I think about that with my kids. I have three and each of them were experiencing a different level of my parental experience and my place in life at that time when they were that age. So that's a very fair thing to think about that. Yeah, we're all going to do that. Plus, depending on what we've focused on for our own mental health, how we've progressed in our journey and addressed things or ignored things from the past.
Well said. I just saw a video clip that said something similar. And it was like, well, my sibling and I grew up in the same household. And the person he was interviewing said, no, you didn't.
Right,
he said,
right.
Yeah, we did. No, you didn't, because your parents only knew certain things when they were raising you. And then when your sister came along, they knew different things.
Right.
Plus you're the boy, she's the girl. Plus they were learning along the way.
Yeah.
Plus mom spent more time with one of you for sure, because It's just never divided. So
exactly,
it was like mind blowing. So when you said it just now, times that by seven kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would have just numbered you people. I wouldn't know your
yeah,
names.
Exactly. Yeah. you get to a point where you just learn to answer to whatever name, first name or middle name that happened to be any of the kids' names. Because like if the voice is coming your direction, you know, it's probably meant for you.
You with the face. Or did they do the thing where they run through all the names till they hit it? Angie, yeah, Maria, Stephen, Michael, kid, Andy.
The best was one point my dad, my sister has her best friend grown up who's basically like a daughter to my, you know, I call her my adopted sister, my bonus sibling.
Yeah, what's one more?
Yeah. And there was a point where we were out to eat one night and my dad ran into somebody he worked with and he introduced my sister as being like a daughter to him. And it was the best. So, and she's like, okay.
So special. I never knew you thought that. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's so great.
So many kids you lose track, I guess.
Yeah, like my husband is my third and final, but I introduce him as my current. Okay, yeah. It's funny to me. Okay.
Right. No, it's I refer to my first wife as what would turn out to be my only wife.
That's true.
Now ex-wife, because if you haven't heard yet, I'm gay and that happened after the marriage. So this is the first episode you hear. Yeah, that would make more sense to know. But yeah.
Right, which you said on my podcast was your wife found out she was sleeping with a gay man. Is that the way you say it?
Yes. I have a few different ways of putting it out there. And it's funny to watch people try to do the math. They're like, wait, that means, I mean, yes, that's what that means.
But wasn't, you know, speaking of that now, wasn't that similar for you too, that you probably thought when you, because you came out when you were like 40, right?
40, yeah.
I mean, don't you look back now and say, what was I waiting for? Why was I?
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm very, very on purpose, do not live in spaces of regret. And I'm like, you know, I wouldn't have my kids. I wouldn't have the experience I have. I wouldn't be doing what I do now if I didn't go through the experiences I had. And I think that's really relatable to when you talk about what you've experienced. Like if we don't have those hard times, then we're not able to have the good things or the rewards from that. And so it is this thing of like, I wish I knew what I knew now sooner, but I don't know if I would know what I know now if I made different decisions earlier based on knowing then what I know now.
Right. You wouldn't, like you said, you wouldn't have your kids and we wouldn't have the friends we have around us or all that. Yeah, that is a really good way to look at it.
Yeah.
So you're right. No regrets.
Exactly.
Like the tattoo on the neck, no regrets. Yeah.
Right. Oops. Just going with it. Yeah.
I guess that's there.
Right. So you're doing so much stuff. And for everybody who's listening, there are links to all of Lisa's stuff in the description of this episode. So you can follow her. You can get her book. Really recommend it. What has been the biggest benefit of getting your book out there, getting your story out there? Because it's bigger than just getting it in writing, right? It's actually having that story that you're now telling the world. What's been the biggest surprise or biggest benefit that you've seen from that?
First, I want to say, I love your questions. I really do. They're very original. I would say being able to say that I'm an author really made me stand a little taller, made me feel a little bit better about myself, and made me drop the worries of what I was worried about writing about, even though I was challenging myself. Nobody forced me to. Yet once I did it, man, I was kind of on a high for a bit there. And I love being professional and stating that I'm an author.
Yeah.
Or, you know, those things that sound good. But now having had that experience, I adore helping others get started. I'm not an editor and none of that. But there are times, Andy, when I have somebody on my podcast and I say off the podcast recording, have you written this story? You know, because I always want the weirdest, most unique people. And there was a gal I had on and she told me this story about her mom losing her memory. And they would just camp out in the living room and pretend they were in a tent and these loving, loving things. And I'm like, have you written this out? And she's like, not yet. I think about it. And we end up chatting. That's how I started coaching too, is that she ended up writing it out. She has a choice between three publishers right now.
Wow.
And she has her first TEDx in September.
Wow.
And that's because there was value in her story and she hadn't looked at it from the outside in.
Yeah.
But she's a therapist, so she's helping everybody else from the outside in. And that's a big lesson as well, is that a coach still needs a coach. A therapist still needs a therapist. Right. A teacher still needs a teacher still needs a teacher and a therapist. Yes. But we all need that outside person, because there's so much chatter inside. We need that outside.
Exactly.
But I think that was one of the things that helped me, was that I could see that for others as well, and encourage other people to get started, or that it matters, that we do want to hear it.
I love that you call that out, because it's so hard to see the value of our own story. And I think it's easy to discount it. I've had people say, gosh, I can't imagine what it was like to go through this part of your life, or to have this thing that you weren't comfortable with. And I'm like, to me, that was just life. That was all I knew. So I didn't see it as, oh, this is so much worse than anybody else. This was, I'm getting through, I'm making my life as successful as I can with what I'm dealing with. And now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, how did I?
Yes.
Because now I know different and better. But it's, we don't see that when it's our situation.
Very true. We all need that outside force. And there's those people that we all see online, or we have that friend that will ask each person their idea or their feedback until they get that answer that they already know they want. Yeah. I was like, maybe you should go to somebody who doesn't know you as well. I think you need you need a neutral party. But yeah, if you're that person asking everybody until you hear the answer you want, you already know the answer. Trust yourself. Trust your gut.
It's like that game of, if you're trying to make a decision and you flip a coin for heads or tails, and if you don't get the result you want, then you know that the other one is what you really want.
That's right. That's the same thing. Yeah. Just do your thing. Stop thinking about other people.
Yeah. Sometimes we just need that instinct to just go, oh yeah, that's right. I didn't want to admit it, but that's what I wanted to do. Well, Lisa, you're doing so much good stuff in the world. You got the books, you're speaking. What's the best way for people to support you, to get out there and give you love and attention? And where does it mean the most?
I will take all the love, actually. I am mostly on Facebook, Lisa David Olson. I stole my husband's middle name because Lisa Olson is so common that I threw David in the middle. And yeah, Facebook is the best spot to find me, message me, my website, everything's under Lisa David Olson. I just landed my third TEDx coming up in October. Excellent. I'm very excited, because you always have to have a new idea. And of course, I have a new idea.
Congratulations.
Got my card deck, if anybody's interested, called the Dare Zone. Got that published now, and it's gentle prompts. So you can use them in your meetings or your school or your events. The next time you're out with your karaoke buddies, you guys want to sit around and play a game.
Right.
It's all gentle and it's all appropriate. Somebody asked me that recently. I was like, oh, good question. Yes, it's all appropriate, but you do you.
Right. The answers may vary, but the prompt is appropriate.
Right. The prompt is appropriate. Yes. Yes. Good.
Because some people
answer.
Can take anything anywhere.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. I am on LinkedIn and Instagram, but, and the TikToks. So. Perfect. Yeah, you can find me out there.
Okay. And like we said earlier, there are links to everything in the comments. You've got so much good stuff. I can't wait to see your new TED Talk.
Thank you.
You guys might as well watch the earlier ones to get caught up so that you're ready.
Might as well. Idea.
That's going to be fun. So before we go, I got to ask you for one more thing. And that's if you could give our audience a challenge for how they could own their awkward this week, what would that be?
Oh, yeah. Let's do this. All right. I challenge this audience on Own Your Awkward to do at least one brave thing that makes you, for some people, that's a phone call. For some people, that's making an appointment for self-care that they haven't done. Maybe it's a pedicure, whatever. I dare you to get out there and do that thing you've been putting off. And I also advise you to reach out to at least 3 people in the next 5 days, just because you're thinking of them, and let them know, hey, I thought of you today, and see what comes of that, because it's cool. So do those things.
I love that. That idea of just reaching out to people. How awesome is that out of the blue when someone's like, hey, I thought of you. And it could be, you know, maybe you see a product that reminds you of them, or you drive past a place that you had a memory together.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Or you see a meme that you're like, ah, oh, she would like that, but I'm busy. I'm going to keep going. No, do that. Reach out, because our phones, if you're like me, when your phone goes off, it's not, woohoo, there's right. an alert. It's yeah. more so, now what?
Exactly.
Oh, and if it rings, oh, holy hell, that's major. Somebody's actually calling me?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to put shoes on. Whatever's going on, I'm going to have to put my shoes on. So yeah. anyway, if you get a text that is not needing, not asking, not requesting, none of that, but just, I thought of you, mm-hmm. and I thought you should know.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have been reaching out to some people that I haven't talked to for a while, purposely, like going back on, who haven't I, you know, who did I used to work with a few years ago that I should just reach out to? And I left in the voicemail, hey, no need to get, you know, no, I don't need anything from you. I'm just calling because I get so leery of the whole, hey, Lisa, how's it going? Was thinking of you today. And then three texts in, it becomes, can I borrow your kidney?
You know? Yes, right.
What are you doing on Friday? So
you want to join this masterclass that's tomorrow for $500?
Yeah.
No, I don't, actually.
Exactly.
I don't.
Yeah, it's like someone gives you a compliment and then it's followed up with the reply of, well, here, buy my product. And I was like,
exactly what I'm talking about. So if you can do it without the second, third parts, yeah, that you, yeah, exactly. you will have some great results just to say, I thought of you, but it, you know, it has to be from the heart, but mm-hmm. that's my awkward challenges.
I love those. And I think that we forget how much it feels like, as much as it feels good to receive that.
Yes.
It's going to feel great to be the one putting it out there.
Yes. You are right.
I would ask people to think about, like, and I've had this where it's like, I'll sit at home and think, no one's called me today. No one's texted. And then on the flip side, I go, well, how many people did I reach out to? How many people did I call? And the number's the same. You know,
that's right.
Oh, well, if I'm not reaching out and saying hello or anything, it's not going to come back either. So
that's some simple math right there.
Yeah, too simple.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, this has been an amazing pleasure. I knew it would be a great conversation. I've learned so much more and just even more endeared to your story and everything you're doing from our conversation today. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And keep it awkward and keep doing what you're doing. I love the show. Thank you so much for letting me be part of it.
Yeah. And I look forward to so many more awkward conversations in the future.
Yay, us.
All right. Well, everyone else, take that challenge. Follow Lisa, find her online, mostly on Facebook and all the other places, but that's where she's most active. Get her book, watch her TED Talks, and of course, Own Your Awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.